Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning and welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. Ed Battagliano is co-hosting with me. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
We are in Nashville, Tennessee, at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and Fred Jackson, our news director and co-host of this program as well, is back home in Tupelo, Mississippi, in our studios. How you doing, Fred?
Doing great. Great golf weather here today, Tim.
Is it now?
Wherever Tim,
now you tell me.
Wherever Tim goes, is not good golfing weather.
So, Fred, I leave town in this good golfing weather, and Fred feels obligated to tell me.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right, then. Well, we got so much to talk about. First of all, what are we doing here, Ed?
Well, we're here for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. You talked about mentioned that earlier. It's a week long, and it's really a great time for people, Christians in broadcast ministry and television ministries, all kinds of ministries get together. They kind of maybe exchange ideas. We learn about what's happening, what God's doing in the kingdom, in the kinds of ministries that would be interested in coming here. And so
we eat a lot.
We eat a lot,
and then we eat again.
Yeah, I've been watching. You know what I've been eating. Every time I bring a fork up to my mouth,
you watch it.
No, actually, my wife and I came all the way to Nashville, and the first thing we did is we went to Cracker Barrel.
Well, we're at the Opryland Hotel. This has to be one of the largest hotels in the country, square footage wise and room wise.
Yes.
It's just incredible. Many of you have been here before, but it's a great place to convene, if you will, and meet with brothers and sisters who are there in the same, quote, industry as we are. We don't consider it an industry so much as a ministry, obviously, American Family Radio, but people who are around the country and internationally who are doing the same type of thing, broadcasting the gospel here in the U.S. and around the world. So it's nice to get together every once in a while. This is just once a year, quite frankly, with NRB, and shake hands. As you say, Ed, exchange stories. How can we get better as a group, as individually? So we learn a lot here from being at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. Meanwhile, while we're here enjoying some good food and fellowship, the world keeps spinning, and Fred's back home to tell us about it.
Yes, Fred? Sir. Tonight, they're calling this perhaps the most important key debate amongst the presidential hopefuls for the Democratic Party. Another debate tonight.
There's another one?
Yep. Tonight.
How many are we going to have of these?
We're probably getting down as far as during the primary season to about the last one. Now, you remember last week, it was Michael Bloomberg who was the target of most of people on the stage.
Well, he was pummeled. He was pummeled.
He was.
Honest, yes.
Yeah, he was. And
he was the pinata.
Yeah. And the assessment was he didn't do very well. But everybody said he's got another $100 million to spend over the next week on ads. But tonight, now here's what the analysts are saying. The focus is going to be on Bernie Sanders, the focus of the other candidates there. And that's because Bernie Sanders continues to do well. He cleaned up in Nevada on the caucuses there last Saturday night. You have the South Carolina primary coming up this Saturday. And so the spotlight is turning on Bernie. And a lot of it has to do with his extensive socialist plan. And a lot of it has to do with some of the remarks that he's made about Cuba and China in recent days. Now, a lot of people want to know, and there was a town hall meeting last night on CNN, and he was asked how he's going to pay for all the Medicare for all, going to forgive tuition costs, going to pay tuition. He's going to have universal daycare. universal early schooling for everyone. Now, this is how Bernie responded to all of this last night at this town hall on CNN. Cut number three.
How much will that cost?
Obviously, those are expensive propositions, but we have done our best on issue after issue in paying for them.
Do you know how much, though? I mean, do you have a price tag for all this?
We do. I mean, you know, and the price tag is, it will be substantially less than letting the current system go. I think it's about $30 trillion.
That's just for Medicare for all.
Just Medicare for all.
Do you have a price tag for all of these things?
No, I don't. You mentioned making public colleges and universities tuition-free and canceling all student debt. That's correct. That's what I want to do. We pay for that through a modest tax on Wall Street speculation.
But you say you don't know what the total price is, but you know how it's going to be paid for. How do you know it's going to be paid for if you don't know how much the price is?
Well, I can't rattle off to you every nickel and every dime, but we have accounted for it. You talked about Medicare for all.
Anderson Cooper?
Yes.
He wasn't asking for nickels and dimes. He just wanted a ballpark figure.
Give me something. And
I can't account for every nickel and dime.
What he's saying is, I don't know how much it's going to cost, but I'm going to promise it anyway.
Listen, I got to tell you. Now, his comments on Cuba were just absolutely outrageous. Now, he mentioned, so this goes to how deep this man is. We're talking about Bernie Sanders in the socialist / communist camp. Now, we've been talking about Elizabeth Warren, and she's kind of seems like she has socialist ideas. Bernie Sanders seems to have no problem even with communism. When we say communism, we're talking about violent totalitarianism. He said he was asked about his 1985 comments, saying he was asked why the Cuban people didn't rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro. He answered, Bernie Sanders now, they didn't rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro because he educated their kids, gave their kids health care, totally transformed society. Now, you talk about looking on the bright side of what was happening down in Cuba. That is just an absolute outrage. The reason they didn't rise up in rebellion against Fidel Castro is because they would have been dead, canceled. Okay? So to say that socialism and communism is a good thing if you give people health care, man.
And Cuban Americans who live mainly in Florida are outraged.
Yes.
And I've been reading about this. There were some commentators yesterday I saw who said, even some Democrats who said, well, there goes Florida.
Yeah.
You know, as far as the vote in November, Trump will win Florida because, so many people in Florida are very familiar with the brutality of the Castro regime for, what, 5 decades?
Oh, since 1959.
Fred, so
to your point, Tim, a Democrat congresswoman from Florida, Donna Shalala. And we're going to play this for you right now, but it's also on OneNews.com. Listen to what she says to Bernie about his pro-Cuba statements that he's been making. Cut number four.
He doesn't get it about the regime in Cuba. And he doesn't understand that health care in Cuba is just awful. That's why so many Cuban Americans are taking medicines down to Cuba. And their education system? Give me a break. So I think that he's way off. He made more than a mistake. It's what he believes. And it's unacceptable to our community. It's unacceptable to anyone in our country.
Well, there you have it. That's Donna Shalala.
Yeah, let me remind folks a lot of people have heard that name before. She worked in the Clinton administration.
Mm-hmm. She was Secretary of Health and Human Services. So if somebody's going to understand about health care.
She's also very liberal.
Yes.
And so the criticisms there you heard were coming from a liberal saying that Bernie Sanders basically doesn't know what he's – well, I don't know if she said he doesn't know what he's talking about, but
– She said he really believes it. So
he believes communism is a good thing.
I don't know.
How else do you read that?
I don't like to over-exaggerate things, but it seems to me that in this case with Bernie Sanders, this guy does not have a problem with totalitarian reconstruction of society. Because that, he said about Fidel Castro, total transformation of society. Yeah, you got that right. So yeah. you talk about the end of a gun. And you've mentioned also the danger for Democrats, and I've been reading stories as well, Tim, that down ballot, this could be a disaster for Democrats. There's speculation that they could even lose the House, which would be a huge flip. And that is simply because of Bernie Sanders if he's
at the top of the ticket. Let me ask you guys. I mean, we've talked about this before. By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're not video streaming today because we don't have cameras here in our suite where we're broadcasting from. So sorry to disappoint all you fans who
can't get enough of looking at our faces.
Yeah. But we are not going to do that today. But we are audio streaming at Facebook and YouTube and posting the stories that we're talking about. So go there. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook or YouTube. Send us an email at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We mentioned this before, let's take the Bernie Sanders scenario. Of course, you've got to win Super Tuesday, but it looks like he's on the path to doing that, to getting enough delegates to.
Right.
He's the clear front runner right now. If you're the Democrat Party establishment and the big money people inside the party, you have to say, you have to be in a panic right now because the idea of Bernie Sanders winning means the possibility of the Democrats getting slaughtered in November across the board, in not just the presidential race, but governor, senators, senator races, even maybe the House may flip. So this has just got them very panicked, and I don't know what you do about it except that President Obama gets involved. That seems to be the only possible way and I don't even know if that would help. But that's the only hope that I believe that they have. Unless some of these, the other alternative would be some of these moderates, in quotations, get out of the race and make it a two-person race between Bernie Sanders and, say, Klobuchar, for example.
Yeah.
I don't even know if she could beat him. But anyway, Obama's not going to insert himself, it doesn't appear.
Here's the deeper problem for the Democrats. I agree. There's been a lot of speculation that's the only way out of the predicament that the Democrats are in right now. The problem is that if you had the far left of the Democratic Party, if they were reasonable and pragmatic people, like the Democratic establishment is, which is why you have the case of Donna Shalala, a real liberal in the Clinton administration, coming out and saying, we don't need this guy. So the Democratic Party establishment, they are, for the most part, are pragmatic people. James Carville said.
Yeah.
He said, this is about power. This is about power.
Right.
How do you get power? You win elections. How do you win elections? You put people up there who have true, quote,
right,
air quotes, democratic principles. The problem is that the far left is not made up of pragmatic, reasonable people. These are Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
This is the
squad with the other four freshman Democrats elected in 2018. This is Bernie Sanders, who is not going to go away quietly if he feels like the establishment has pulled the rug out from him again. So these are not people who are going to be reasonable, and they're not going to go away quietly. They're going to take the party down with them if they feel like they're getting a raw deal.
Yeah. All right, Fred, what else you got?
Well, I guess you talk about moderates in the field, and for a long while, I think the establishment Democrats were hoping maybe Biden could pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
But we've talked about his gaffes, and I'm afraid this latest one, I'm going to play it for you in just a second here, may be one of the worst yet. This was yesterday in South Carolina at a rally for Joe Biden, and this is how he wrapped up his speech to the crowd there. This is cut number 5.
And I have a simple proposition here. I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay? That's all I've really got to say to you.
I'm sure they did look.
That's three martinis right there. That's, huh? I'm sorry. Am I the only one thinking that?
Huh? His speech seemed a little slurred. I'm not saying that he had three martinis, but it's the kind of thing that you do go either you know. I don't want to say things that aren't true. So I don't know whether dementia is setting in. He's just his mind just is not sharp. President Trump said it perfectly. He's lost his fastball. But that sounds like the speech was a little bit slurred. I don't know whether he was trying to talk too quickly.
Did he say vote for the other Biden?
Yes.
What did he say?
Vote for the other. He said, I'm a Democrat. You want to play that again?
Yeah, play that again.
Can we?
Now, let me just say this, folks. I mean, we don't want to make fun of elderly people.
Right.
Because they stumble over their words sometimes.
I'm getting there.
Okay. As I said earlier, if we should we live long enough, we're all going to be
right
in that situation. Some of us will get there earlier. And certainly don't want to make light of dementia or, Alzheimer's or something
right.
like that. No way. But we're talking about a fellow who's running for president of the United States, and he's on stage, and he's talking like this. And so, this is a very serious matter because he is considered by many still to be one of the top
right.
Contenders on the Democrat side. So it's not unfair, I guess I should say, to critique his speaking style
right.
and whether or not he's able to think clearly or know where he is half the time. So these kinds of things are a matter for voters to consider. What is it? Let's see. We're going to play this one more time? Okay, let's play this one more time.
And I have a simple proposition here. I'm here to ask you for your help. Where I come from, you don't get far unless you ask. My name's Joe Biden. I'm a Democratic candidate for the United States Senate. Look me over. If you like what you see, help out. If not, vote for the other guy. Give me a look, though, okay?
That's all
I really got to say to you.
That's pretty much disqualifying right there. Somebody needs to get together, a team of his family and friends, and because he said he's running for Senate.
United States Senate. And then he said vote for the other Biden.
Vote for the other Biden. There's no other Biden on the ballot. So, if it were me, I would certainly hope somebody, my friends and family, or if it was my dad, I would certainly say, Dad, we're going to have to. You're not going to be able to continue.
Go ahead, Fred. The thing is here too, is this is not late in the campaign.
No,
it's getting real late for Joe Biden.
And it's not the first time.
And South Carolina was supposed to be his firewall. Now, what's been talked about there, Joe Biden has to win South Carolina, or most people think he's finished for good. And this was a speech yesterday in South Carolina, just a few days ahead of the vote.
Yeah.
Well, and the fact of the matter is, he has said South Carolina is his firewall. Mm-hmm. If he does not do well Saturday, he has a perfect out. You know, those, like you said, Tim, those who are around him saying, listen, you don't want to embarrass yourself. Let's get out now.
Right.
He could get
there's
out.
There's no path to victory here.
Yeah,
Dad,
he could say there's no path to victory. I was relying on South Carolina, and obviously that's not going to happen. He also said, I don't know, Fred, were you going to bring up this other story about claiming that he worked with a Chinese leader on the Paris Climate Accord?
Yeah.
What is this now?
Do you have that? I don't want to jump.
No, I don't have that, but you were quoting it a little earlier.
Yeah, this is Joe Biden was saying, and this was here Monday night in South Carolina. He claimed that he had worked with the Chinese leader Deng Xiaoping. I think that's how you Xiaoping mm-hmm. on the Paris Climate Accord. And he said, I'm making the case that I believe China would join if we put pressure on them. And the Trump campaign pointed out that the current Chinese president is Xi Jinping and mentioned that the other Chinese leader has been dead for 23 years. So that's another case in which he quoted the wrong leader. And if it was just this one incident, I think most people would say anybody can get that wrong. You know, you're a little bit tired, been on the campaign trail, but it's one thing after another. And that plays into the narrative that Joe Biden has lost his fastball. And he's not going to be able to beat President Trump.
Ed, our producer here, Adam, says he's got that clip that you were just talking about.
All right, let's.
Now, what are we about to hear?
This is Joe Biden in South Carolina on Monday night claiming that he had worked with the Chinese leader on the Paris Climate Accord.
And folks, one of the things I'm proudest of is getting past, getting moved, getting control of the Paris Climate Accord. I'm the guy that came back after meeting with Deng Xiaoping and making the case that I believe China would join if we put pressure on them. We got almost 200 nations to join.
There you have it.
That, yeah.
So he's talking about a guy that's been dead for 25 years?
Yeah, 25 years.
Prior to this time period where he said he worked on the climate?
Yeah, just recently under the Obama administration.
Talking about the Paris climate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
So he was talking. That'd be like saying I work with Mao Zedong, you know?
Last week.
Yeah, last week. And so you go, really? And it's just one thing after another. And I feel bad for him because for those who are fans of Joe Biden, he has served. If you're a Democrat, you say this guy has served the country for 40 years or whatever it is, 50 years. Been in the Senate for a long time.
How do you – somebody's got to tell him, though. I mean, his wife.
I think voters are going to tell him. Voters are going to tell him South Carolina, and then a few days later the Super Tuesday.
Well, that's true.
He's just going to have to get out.
That's true.
So what do you think, guys, as far – if Biden gets out, then who?
Well, you got Bloomberg there. You know, he's got we got the TV on in the room here. I've seen six ads in 30 minutes from Bloomberg.
I think I mentioned last week, maybe it was the week before, watching hockey or looking at highlights on the internet. Bloomberg ads everywhere.
Yeah.
So he is pouring money into it. And so
nothing about stop and frisk on those ads.
No.
I'm proud of my time.
So if there are people not paying attention, if they're not paying attention to the debate last week, if they don't watch the debate this week, they may not know he got his head handed to him.
Yeah.
So
Mayor Bloomberg, I think, it's going to be difficult for him to win after that disastrous performance. He's just getting killed on the left because of his policies in the past. And he hasn't been a Democrat. I mean, he was a Democrat, then he was a Republican, then he was an independent. So, President Trump, he was a Democrat. Then he went over to a Republican, President Trump had more aligned with the Republican Party than Bloomberg did the far left of the Democrat Party.
Right.
I think that's the situation there. I tell you what, can we go ahead and take our break?
Yeah.
Is that a yes or no?
Yes from control.
Yes from control. Okay, we're in two different places in case you're wondering, folks. We can't see Fred or Adam. So we're in Nashville, Tennessee. Ed, yours truly, Britt Creeley, our producer. And we're broadcasting from the National Religious Broadcaster Convention. More stuff to talk about. We've got this coronavirus situation that's causing panic some places around the world. The stock market took a nosedive yesterday because of it. So we'll talk about that. Maybe Dr. Alex McFarland will be here in just a few minutes as well. We'll see what all we got planned for you after this timeout. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues.
We appreciate hearing from you. You can send us an email at comments@afr.net.
I pastor a small church, so I have to have a full-time job on the side. When I try to feed the flock, y'all feed me, and I thank God for y'all.
If you want to watch the show live, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and you can also access the stories that we talk about.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Our June tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon is almost full. Then we've got our September trip coming up as well. And if you want to take advantage of that, we still have plenty of seats left on that one. That's September the 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th. Our itinerary is available online at spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com. We see as much as you can possibly see in the time we're in D.C. It's a very enjoyable trip. We have great food, great people from around the country, and we have Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation as our historian. So there are just very few tours, if any at all, like our tour of our nation's capital. So if you want to go, or on the Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown trip, either one of those, just go to spiritualheritagetours.com, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. An Indiana couple is facing felony charges after they allegedly ran two teenage boys off the road because they had Trump flags attached to their bicycles. The police chief in the town of Hobart says residents should be able to express their support for any political candidate without fear of being run over by a car. A Snapchat video caught much of the attack on camera. Charged in the crime are Kyrene Gregory Jones and Kaylin Marie Smith. Police say they allegedly began following the boys, then swerved to force them off the road. They also threatened to beat up the boys if they called 911. This is not the first time Trump supporters have been attacked. For years, Democrats have been urging their supporters to harass Trump supporters in grocery stores and shopping centers. It's time to start labeling those attacks as political terrorism. And at the very least, those responsible ought to be facing hate crime charges. I'm Todd Starn.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim and Ed here in Nashville, Tennessee, broadcasting from the National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the Gaylord Opryland Hotel. Fred Jackson, our news guy, is back in Tupelo, Mississippi, and we thank you for listening. I had no idea that this hotel started in Tennessee and ended up in Kentucky.
It's that big, huh?
Good. Did I ever tell you my Opryland story?
Huh?
Opryland Hotel story? Do you care?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, if it's interesting, we'll wait and see.
Okay, Fred, how are you? Do you want me to tell this?
Absolutely.
Whatever you want to say,
okay,
boss.
Well, anyway, this is about 10 years ago. It's one of my first times to be in, first or second. No, it's longer than that. Probably, I don't know. Anyway, I was here, and I went up to the, they gave me the key, you know, started on my way. And for those who hadn't been here, this is a massive.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking about three or four different.
I've been lost several times already.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So I went, I started walking down the hall and then down this other hall and then, you know how it goes?
Oh, yeah.
And then you're looking at the signs and, of course, men aren't keen on asking for directions anyway, right? So I'll find this eventually. But anyway, after about 10 minutes of sort of stumbling around, there was a fellow walking by me who was a maintenance guy. And I said, "Excuse me, sir." He was a spitting image of Tim Tebow, so whenever that was, 10 years ago or so. First thing I said, "Do you know, has anybody ever told you you look like Tim Tebow?"
What did he say?
He said, "Yeah."
Oh,
I've
okay.
been get that a lot. I said, "Can you tell me where C4977-2L94 room, can you tell me where my room is?" And he looked at me and looked at my, you know, and he said, no, I can't, I'm sorry, I can't help you. You have to see the front desk.
I'm as lost as you are.
Yeah, so he was a maintenance guy.
Oh, for the my whole, goodness.
My point
right.
is, he's a maintenance guy for the walking with his tool belt, his blue shirt on, everything, walking down the hall, I stop him. I ask him where do I go to find my room? And he has no – that's how big the hotel is. He has no idea. He probably just
– he's probably the maintenance man for his section.
Yeah, probably so. I've never been over to that section, sir. I don't know. They tell me it's nice. But anyway,
I understand his problem, though. I get people all the time who say that they – you ever told you look like Brad Pitt?
You get that a lot, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
no,
okay.
I don't.
We've got a meter here.
Yeah, I know.
The lie detector meter.
The modern day Pinocchio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
What we call it.
Hey, all listen, right, Fred, Tim, I was going to say to you, yes. Can you please keep an eye on Ed while you're there?
Me?
Yeah.
He's going to be back in the studio.
To tell me to keep an eye on anybody is kind of funny.
My wife is here. She keeps an eye on him.
Yeah, she keeps an eye on him.
You know, because
she can't keep me out of trouble. But
I'm flying home later on.
Well, somebody will have to keep an eye on him because, Ed is a line dancing champion.
A line dancing champion?
Yeah.
Are you talking about lie?
No,
lie dancing?
Line dancing.
Ed doesn't know what line dancing is.
I do. I've heard of line dancing. I am not a dancer.
And he's in Nashville. So just watch out.
Line dancing, that's when the cowboys and cowgirls
start.
They slap the their boots and all that kind of thing. No, you're
do-si-do?
Not going
to. Do-si-do? Is that a do-si-do moment?
I don't know.
Right there?
No. Good. Make fun of me, Fred. I can't picture you line dancing either. Right there.
Fred, the Canadian hockey player, now will line dance.
Speaking of hockey.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I didn't get to talk about this yesterday. Did you guys, Ed, did you see this on the weekend? The Zamboni?
Steve talked about it, but Fred wasn't with me.
I did not see it. I saw the story. I did not watch it, but the Zamboni driver went in and played goal when both goalies got hurt and won the game.
Yeah, he's from Toronto, sitting up the stands with his girlfriend. Both Carolina goalies get injured. He has to come down. This is a contract he has with the NHL.
Yes.
He's a standby.
He is available to play for either team.
Yep. And for $500 get hurt. For $500
Listen, there's a lot of people out here who don't understand hockey, okay?
Right.
And don't follow hockey.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to explain to them. I'm going to have to use a football analogy.
Okay.
What you guys are talking about here. We got two professional football teams playing. Mm-hmm. And one of the teams loses both their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a guy sitting in the stands who mows the yard.
Okay? Perfect.
Who mows the field. Uh-huh. He mows the field. He makes sure the field, looks good.
Uh-huh.
He's sitting up there in the stands. The two quarterbacks go down, and they say, Bill, get out of here.
You're in.
Your contract says you got to play quarterback now. Huh? So Bill goes into the game, and that's what we're talking about here.
Played a little bit of high school football.
Yep. Right, right. So that's what we're talking about here. That happened
Incredible.
In professional hockey over the
and
weekend.
We're talking about in the NHL, slap shots, the puck moving 100 miles an hour, some even more than that.
Yep. Yeah, and he stopped 8 of the 10 shots. The Carolina won the game 6-3, and tonight – in Raleigh, North Carolina, this Zamboni driver from Toronto is going to be honored by the crowd there in Raleigh tonight.
Mm. It's a great hockey story, you know what? It's just a great humanitarian story.
Yeah. Is he going to get – so this is his 15 minutes right here.
He's 42 years old, this guy.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's
my
just
goodness.
He's just had a kidney transplant.
Wow.
I mean,
they're going to make a –
this story
they're gonna make some kind of movie. They're going to make a 30 on 30.
Trump may get this guy the Medal of Honor.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to today's issues on AFR. Fred, what about on a more serious, somber note, what about this coronavirus situation?
Yeah, I know it's amazing. The Trump administration is asking Congress for about, I think it's about $2 billion just to be ready for this. Now, fortunately, for the most part, the United States has escaped this so far, but the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are ready for it. Travel alert is in place, so that is in place. But we heard this morning, because this is starting to travel outside of Asian countries, in Iran, one of the top health officials in that country has just been diagnosed. with this coronavirus. The other possibility, we've talked about the Olympics, which are ready to take place in Japan this summer. Over the next 3 months, they've got to make a decision. They've got a three-month window now to make a decision whether to cancel those games because of this coronavirus. So it's serious. There is one other report, one other development this morning. There is a drug company. We have this story on the One News Now site. There is a drug company that is ready to test a possible antidote to this. And they're just waiting for official approval on this.
But why did the stock market drop so much yesterday? And is it back up this morning? I haven't even checked.
It's back up a couple hundred points before I came into the studio. It's back up a couple hundred points. But it dropped 1,000 yesterday. Here's the reason is the world depends so much on products from China.
Mm-hmm.
With just one product in particular, and this sounds a little strange to be talking about this in February, China produces a lot of the toys that kids get for Christmas. And they produce those toys well in advance. And so there is concern amongst the major retailers who make millions of dollars selling toys at Christmas. They may not have a stock of toys because of what's going on.
And the stock market just is – stability is what helps feed the stock market, so at least in part. And I just using my vast, expertise.
Please share it with us.
In economic matters with our listening audience. But if you have this much uncertainty in terms of the world economy and how things are, then people don't feel like they want to buy stocks. They want to sell. And now this, my understanding on this coronavirus, Fred, is, since we're talking about kind of a flu virus, right? That's what this is. It's a flu virus, a variety of flu.
Correct.
It's not just affecting the elderly and little children or babies who are usually the most susceptible to a flu virus, because one of the leading health officials in China that originally warned about this, young man, looked like he was in his 40s, 30s or 40s, he died from it.
Mm-hmm.
So is that right? Is it affecting and people who aren't necessarily, which you would think as being in the class of susceptible to flu strains, it's affecting all age groups? Is that what's happening?
It is affecting all age groups, and I would assume that the age group that normally would be considered the most healthy, if there is a compromise in the immune system already, then they would be very vulnerable. I want to get back to your question about the stock market. Adam, you're looking at something that was just on Fox News a moment ago about where we are with that right at the moment.
Yeah, we are down another 300 points, so it's still going down. 309 last time I looked.
Okay. So
there's twofold, and you mentioned it, Fred. There's twofold reason for the stock market declining, and it may come back up in the next day or two or week or so. It will eventually. Mm-hmm. As I say, the stock market goes up, the stock market goes down. A couple things. One is just the general uneasiness among the public about what's going to happen with this virus. How far is it going to spread?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to come to the United States in a serious way? Well, if you've got it, it's serious.
Right.
But you understand what I'm saying. In a way that is...
like a pandemic.
Yes, that kind of thing. Secondly, I read where so many of our drugs have, would you say, parts or elements of that are from China that we depend on, our pharmaceutical companies. So I don't know what all they – I'm waiting to see what all they are,
Right.
But they say that also. What's going on in China is a lot of places are shut down.
Yeah.
Because the people can't come to work because they don't want to spread this virus. Mm-hmm. So they're quarantined or they're – and in China, you have totalitarian government, and you have police, and so they can enforce this stuff easily, seems to me. So that's what's going on here, too. A lot of things we don't know about that are made in China that we use here in the U.S., not just toys, although Fred's right about that, other products, Apple phones are made in China. So are parts of the Apple phone are made in China. So,
well, and the vast majority of these cases are in China. I'm looking at an AP story that has a chart, and almost 78,000 confirmed cases in China. South Korea is next with less than 1,000, okay, in the list, and it goes down from there. The United States has 35 confirmed cases. So the vast majority of these are in China. This is where it, I guess, started. I don't know if we'll ever find out how this started. There's all kinds of conspiracy stories and ideas about how this thing started. But the vast majority are in China. So, Tim, to your point, the world gets, and especially the United States, gets a lot of products from China. And if manufacturing slows down or stops in some sectors of the country, that could be a problem. And so the stock market is reacting to that possibility.
Well, and the administration has asked for money, the Trump administration, for money from Congress to fight this coming to America, so to speak,
right.
Or spreading in our country. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Next story, Fred.
Yes, President Trump getting set to leave India after what most people would agree, successful tour. Of course, we reported yesterday he had a crowd of about 100,000 at a cricket stadium greet him there. Yesterday, he's been meeting with the Indian Prime Minister Modi. But before he left India, preparing to leave, he had a news conference this morning. And he wandered away from topics related to India. And he was getting questions from reporters. But I think when the president holds a news conference with the American reporters, it's always going to refer back to things happening here. You may remember just a few days ago, one of the justices of the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, was very critical of the justices that the president has been responsible for putting on the Supreme Court, saying they're very biased in favor of the Trump administration. And her immediate reference was to a case being heard before the Supreme Court dealing with the requirement that people applying for green cards must not be dependent on the state. Now, that has actually been in place for years and years and years, but there's been a challenge to that law. So this morning, President Trump decided to fire back at Justice Sotomayor, and also he included Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Justice Ginsburg, in that for their criticism. Remember, Ginsburg has been critical, openly critical of the president, and now you have Sotomayor. So here's the president this morning at the news conference offering his opinion of their opinions of the makeup of the court. Cut number six.
I always thought that, frankly, that Justice Ginsburg should do it because she went wild during the campaign when I was running. I don't know who she was for. Perhaps she was for Hillary Clinton. You can believe it. But she said some things that were obviously very inappropriate. She later sort of apologized. I wouldn't say it was an apology, but she sort of apologized. And then Justice Sotomayor said what she said yesterday. You know very well what she said yesterday. It was a big story. And I just don't know how they can not recuse themselves for anything having to do with Trump or Trump-related. The right thing to do is that.
All right, there you have it. He's asking them to recuse themselves. Now, they're not going to do that. But he's willing to fire back. That's President Trump.
Well, you know, here's the thing. One of the reasons why Supreme Court justices stay out of politics, at least in terms of making public statements about administrations or about issues, is because of this very thing. Because you have two Supreme Court justices who are far left criticizing conservative justices, saying they're biased and having a history of making some anti-Trump comments. Now you sit there and you go, well then, do we have a politicized court? And if you have a politicized court, are there rulings simply about power? Are there rulings simply about having the votes on your side of the political spectrum, not making decisions based on the Constitution or the law? And that is going to undercut people's faith in the Supreme Court. These two justices should have kept their mouths shut. Frankly, They had problems. They should have talked about it. I don't know how justices get together. They go out for pizza or something. I don't know. They should talk about it privately. They shouldn't have said these things publicly.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, Fred, did you see this story about Harvey Weinstein,
mm-hmm.
who was convicted?
Yes, of two charges.
He's the movie mogul. There's a political angle here. That's why I wanted to bring this up. But, of course, the people have probably heard his name. He's one of the most powerful men in Hollywood for probably 2 to 3 decades. Mm-hmm. And about, what, a year or two ago, a lot of women began to come out and say that he had sexually assaulted them.
Right.
And by a lot, I mean 10 to 20 or more, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Correct.
And now he went to trial. So he was convicted on two counts?
On two counts yesterday, sir.
What were they? Rape?
It was
rape conviction. It was a rape conviction.
Rape conviction on one, and I think it was sexual assault. But it all had to do with sexual activity with women.
Well, what he was doing was, according to these women, basically, he was using, it was the old stereotype that everybody knows about, the casting couch.
Right.
He was using his power and influence and money as a, Hollywood power broker mm-hmm. to gain access to young women, And so then he would, sexually assault them or abuse them or talk them into things that they didn't want to do, according to the women. And this was repeated over and over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the political part of this is this guy was a big Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Gave a lot of money to the Clintons. There's a lot of pictures of him with the Clintons, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
He was a big Democrat Party supporter and hung out with the Hollywood, the New York liberal types.
Right.
And I just wonder, well, we all know the answer to this question. Had this been a person associated or affiliated with a Republican, like President Trump, for example, imagine the scandal the story would be now with Harvey Weinstein. You had this Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know what the deal is with the Steen name and the – but Jeffrey Epstein, he was the same type guy, evidently, a pervert.
Except in his case, the accusations were underage girls.
Yes.
Not that either one.
But again, hanging out with a bunch of Democrats. That's what President Trump was saying yesterday. Now, that's not to say that Republicans can't commit the same type of crimes, but I'm just saying, in this case, you have these people who are hanging out with top Democrat former presidents like Obama and
Bill Clinton,
and the media is not going to spend much time on that. But had it been a Republican, I guarantee you, it would be a big scandal for several days at least.
Yeah, especially Jeffrey Epstein, because Bill Clinton, for example, was said to have traveled on his plane numerous times. They called it the Lolita Express mm-hmm. because these girls were underage. The name Weinstein, he and I think his brother's name is Bob, they started Miramax Films. So anyone who's watched Miramax Films, that was these brothers.
Here's the other aspect of this story and why it's important is this was an open secret. Harvey Weinstein was like this. I mean, you do this kind of thing over and over and over again, you get a reputation inside your industry. But he was so rich and so powerful and controlled, and you had so many of these women wanting to climb the ladder of success in Hollywood. Quite frankly, a lot of them put themselves in a compromising position from what I can tell. But this guy, Weinstein, what I'm saying is the people now like Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and evidently Michelle Obama, I don't know about Barack Obama, but Michelle Obama hanging out with this guy at different social events and having their picture taken with him, and everybody knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? To me, that's a bigger problem. Everybody knows this guy's reputation when you go into the party, and yet you want to put your arm around him and have your picture taken with him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now nobody does, obviously, because he's been convicted and he's become a pariah.
Yeah.
So
he was found guilty of third-degree rape and first-degree criminal sexual act, reading from the New York Post.
One count?
But not guilty, yes. But not guilty of the most serious charges, two counts of predatory sexual assault.
But those are convictions in criminal cases. Mm-hmm. But there are multiple accusations against him that are not going to go to court. Okay.
Right.
But there are new charges that have to be heard in California because some of the charges
have been
filed under the California jurisdiction. And so his case is not over yet.
Again, another aspect of this is, you know, the Democrat Party, then the liberals, they want to be known for the Me Too movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to be known for how we treat women, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Well, how could all these leaders of that particular movement be hanging around this guy?
Yeah.
The reason they were hanging around this guy is because he wrote them big checks to their campaigns and their causes. So they were bought off, basically, by this guy. Well, that happens, you know, that's the history.
They turn a blind eye, a deaf ear to the rumors about what this guy does. I mean, some of the stories were just horrifying.
I know.
And you sit there and you go, if that was my daughter, frankly, he'd have been thrown off a bridge or something. I mean, these are terrible things.
But if this person, if Weinstein was in any way connected to President Trump.
Right.
Then,
no, you're absolutely right.
They would be calling for Trump's. They would be impeaching him again.
Yes,
basically.
That's right.
For hanging out with this
guy. You knew this and you said nothing.
Right, right. That's what they would. That's exactly what they would be. The liberal media and Nancy Pelosi and company would be doing. All right, Fred. We've got about 2 minutes left.
Yes.
Is there any good news out there, Fred?
Well,
did you pick up anything?
He already gave us the Zamboni driver playing goalie.
That's a heartwarming story.
That is. Here's another good story that broke yesterday afternoon. A U.S. appeals court on Monday upheld Trump administration rules that bar health care providers in the federal family planning program from referring patients for abortions. Now, so that's a great decision, but it came from the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals by a 7-4 ruling. Now, if you've listened to American Family Radio for any amount of time, you know the 9th Circuit, one of the most left-wing appeals courts out there in the country, overturned most of the time because they're so left, but the makeup of that court has now changed in the last 3.5 years.
Well, what happened, Fred, over the last 3 years that might have caused that?
There were vacancies on that court, Ed, and President Trump had an opportunity to nominate some of his picks for that court, and by golly, it's made a difference.
So you're saying elections have consequences, and the most overturned Circuit Court of Appeals, the 9th Circuit, is becoming more conservative?
Yes, sir.
I would just like to ask never Trumpers, especially those in the evangelical community.
Mm.
I'm going to quote Tim Wildman. How do you like them apples?
That's
you say President Trump is this, that, and the other. How many babies' lives will be saved because of what President Trump has done in nominating conservative constitutional judges for the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals?
Absolutely.
You tell them, Ed.
That's right.
You tell them, Ed.
I like that expression. How do you like them apples?
I know. Feels good saying it, too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like,
it does.
Like,
I do. I feel
what
good.
What that means is I have the last word right here on you. That shuts you up.
Yeah.
Or should. All right. We'll be back in 5 minutes with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network, live from Nashville.